proceed next in the matter of Big Creek Lumber Company versus County of Santa Cruz. First from Ms. Lake.
Good morning, Your Honors. The question before this court is the scope of the preemptive language in Forest Practice Act, Section 4516.5D. This express preemption provision took away the authority of counties to regulate the conduct of timber operations and to require a county permit before timberland could be logged. The dispute centers specifically on this phrase, conduct of timber operations. The case presents two radically different views of the respective role of state and counties in regulating timber harvesting in California. Plaintiffs accord the phrase conduct of timber operations the broadest possible interpretation, contending that it expressly prohibits counties from regulating every aspect of timber operations. Under this reading of the statute, the counties would have absolutely no authority to control commercial timber harvesting anywhere in the county, irrespective of local conditions.
Now, just to clarify what's at issue here, we have two ordinances that Santa Cruz passed. One is where helicopters can stage and pick up lumber, but the one that we're going to talk about first, I presume, is a zoning ordinance.
It's a zone district ordinance, yes.
Now, there is such an entity as timberland productivity zones. Who establishes those zones?
The Timberland Productivity Act of 1982 provides that in that statute, the legislature said, we want to have qualifying timberland put in the TP zone, and it set forth criteria to determine whether timberland qualified for the zone. Then, after doing that, it recognized that counties should be the zoning mechanism to actually decide if the qualifications were met. So it recognized the authority of counties.
So they have zoning responsibility there affirmatively.
Affirmatively, explicitly recognized.
And do they have authority not to zone areas that qualify under the Timber Productivity Act?
I'm going to use the term TPA, and I invite your honors to do that this morning also. If the parcel qualifies under state criteria, and I would note that the county gets to say the minimum parcel size required, if the parcel qualifies, yes, counties must zone it TP.
So what's at issue here?
So what's at issue here is if the parcel is not zoned TP, either because it didn't happen when the statute was enacted for various reasons, or now the owner comes and asks for TP. If that isn't the case, if the parcel is zoned residential, for example, the issue is, can you log timberland in a zone that the County of Santa Cruz has not deemed to be for timber use? That's the issue.
With regard to the matter of preemption, you may be familiar with the fact that in the case of Bronco Wine, which otherwise involves something quite different from what's involved here, although also something that grows, there was a statement that there is a presumption against preemption. We certainly recognize that with regard to federal law vis-a-vis state law. And isn't that a presumption that should also apply in the context of the relationship between state law and county law?
Absolutely, Your Honor. As you said, in Bronco Wine, it applied in the federal state context, but in this court's opinion in American Financial Services versus City of Oakland, the court referred to Bronco, and American Financial involve state, local. So absolutely, the presumption applies.
And perhaps it's even particularly appropriate in an area such as zoning, which traditionally has been left as a matter of county regulation as opposed to other matters that are more traditionally handled on a statewide basis, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the court's opinion in the IT Corporation case, for example, in DeVita, which was not a preemption case, but also a case where this court explicitly said in an area where local government has exclusive regulatory control, where it traditionally exercises that control, the presumption applies, and we, the court, are not going to intrude unless the legislature explicitly makes a statement that that was its intent. And we say here that statement is absolutely missing.
Getting back to the TPZs, the timberland in question here that we're talking about involves land that is outside of the TPZ, but is also greater in size than 3 acres. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the Forestry Service is not contending that it has jurisdiction over non-TPZ parcels that have less than 3 acres. Is that correct?
That's right. There's an explicit exemption.
And that they concede that the county has exclusive control over those.
Under 3 acres. That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, let's talk about the preemptive provision, which is the conduct of timber operations. And what is your position about that?
Our position is that, in fact, the plain language of the statute, just looking at the FPA, Forest Practice Act, tells us that the legislature was looking to preempt counties from regulating conduct. The word conduct is not defined in the statute. However, the Webster Dictionary definition, which all parties use and both courts of appeal, the First District and the Sixth use, is the act, manner, or process. You put that together with timber operations, and the Forest Practice Act does define timber operations, and I think it's important, the language is important to remember this morning. Timber operations are the cutting or removal or both of timber from timberland for commercial purposes, together with all the work incidental thereto, including but not limited to construction, maintenance of roads, skid trails, stream crossings, fire breaks. So this definition shows that timber operations are the physical on-the-ground activities, the how, if you will, of how timber operations are conducted.
How does that square with the helicoptering ordinance then? Doesn't that involve the removal of the lumber? You've got to get it somewhere. And why doesn't that come within the rubric of conduct? It would seem to be plain.
I think the answer, Your Honor, is yes, removal is a manner. But here the county is not saying how you remove. It's not saying you have to use helicopters or you can't use helicopters or you use trucks or cable yarding. What the county is saying is you choose, operator, what manner you're going to use. After you make that choice, the how choice, if you will, then to protect public safety, we're going to say that the landing and staging area has to be either within the site being logged or adjacent to it, and on a parcel zoned for timber use. And the reason that Santa Cruz adopted this ordinance is because there are unique conditions. Santa Cruz is highly urbanized, more so than almost any county where timber operations occur. You have residential uses very close to timberland, and these multi-ton logs dangling from helicopters were a concern. That's why it was enacted. But it's not saying how, what method you use. It's only after the choice is made that the county says, okay, if you elect that, here's what you have to do.
The county have zoned the entire county, non-TPZ county, to say that harvesting was prohibited?
The county has not prohibited harvesting at all. A property owner with timberland on their property is always able to zone to TP if the parcel meets state-defined criteria. So it's not contrary to what plaintiffs keep saying that the county is banning. County isn't banning timber operations at all. In fact, the county is not at all hostile to timber operations. Since these ordinances were adopted in 1999, the county has zoned to TP upon a petition from the owner hundreds and hundreds of acres. So it's not at all acting to ban timber harvesting.
Let's take a look at the original enactment of the Forest Practice Act. Was that enacted back in 73?
Yes, sir.
Well, as we know, at that point, the FBA allowed counties to enact regulations governing timber regulation operations that were more restrictive than those articulated in the FBA. But then, several years later, in 1982, we are faced with an amendment. And it appears, and I would like to hear from you, you know, in response, but it appears that the legislature enacted that particular amendment in response to concerns by the various timber companies who were complaining about the counties getting far more to say than the lumber companies liked. So the legislature, at least as appears to have done, then came up with this particular amendment. And taking a look at the language of that particular statute, it talks about counties may recommend. At first blush, that doesn't appear to support your argument that we should adopt your argument of no preemption here. And then in D, it talks about, except as provided in subdivision E, individual counties shall not otherwise regulate the conduct of timber operations. And listening to your argument, I think, if I understood it correctly, you say, well, this language in the 1982 amendment does support you because what the court has to look at is conduct. Is that your argument? The when, how stuff? Well, perhaps you can help me out there. It seems that the when, how articulation is not a very good way of, or easy way, or both, of solving the problem. And it seems that the helicopter ordinance may be an example of that, because one could argue that anyone who is good in language can draft something that would meet the standards of the where-how distinction. But here, what is your answer to the argument that the helicopter ordinance is a good example why the how-where distinction doesn't work? Question, is it a where ordinance? Regulating the locations in which the helicopters that are used for logging may take off and land? Or is it a how ordinance, regulating the manner in which logging is conducted by restricting the distance that helicopters can fly? One can make the argument it's really a little bit of both. So from my standpoint, this is why the how-where distinction is not a good way of solving the problem at issue here. What is your response?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to start, if I may, with the zone district ordinance, because I think it's very clear here, this the how, the where. I think, as we were discussing a moment earlier, you have to start from the place that the counties had historic exclusive control over determining the land uses that are appropriate in different parts of the county.
Does that mean then that the enactment is of no significance because traditionally, based upon your answer, counties have had this power?
Absolutely not. I say we start there because, as pertinent to Justice George's question, there's a presumption of validity. We start there, and then we look to see what did the legislature do in 1982. And it's very clear for example, from the legislative history, that there were counties, as you noted, that were requiring permits, as they had the right to, and they were also imposing regulations that allegedly backdoor had the effect of a permit. That was, to use the court's terminology, the evil to be remedied. What did the legislature do in response? It put into the Forest Practice Act language about you cannot regulate conduct of timber operations. That's the issue. What's the scope of that language? Were they depriving counties of their traditional historic authority under the state constitution to say what zone districts are appropriate? There's nothing about that. It's the Timberland Productivity Act, and we get to this issue of harmonizing statutes that speak to the same subject matter.
But how does that address the problem that you alluded to, that the legislature presumably was speaking to just restrict counties to regulating the conduct as we, for the moment, are defining that term? It leaves this whole other area where the counties presumably could just by zoning see to it that there was no conduct of timber operations because they wouldn't allow them anywhere in the county.
No. I think you earlier, Your Honor, you asked me the question whether the county has to rezone to timber production if there's a petition, if there's a request to rezone. And I answered, yes, it has to. And once it zones to timber production, it has to allow timber harvesting. So it can't ban the conduct, after all, the total harvesting of timber in the county. It can't, because all you have to do is go to the TP zone. And there's no evidence anywhere. 7 years we've been litigating this case from the trial court up through. No evidence that there is any owner who can't go to timber production and law. So there's been lots of stories about the sky's going to fall in if the county's ordinances are upheld. But the question of the effect of the ordinance is not what's here. The question is, what did the legislature do? What was its intent? And I think if you harmonize the Timberland Productivity Act, which recognizes explicitly county authority and says we're going to retain the balance of authority as between state and counties. The state does contact. We're going to say, okay, if it's TP County, we're impinging. There's where it impinged on county authority. But we're only going to do it. We're only going to intrude to the extent necessary to deal with the problem. And so they said, qualify for TP? We want you in TP. And we submit, Your Honor, that the ordinance before you saying here are the zone districts is furthering that legislative intent. It's saying we, the county, agree with the state. Go to timber production. And the reason is if you're in timber production, and this was also something the legislature said in 1982, which furthers, I think, our position.
Does it? Because now that you are back there on what the legislature said, and I'm focusing on the 1982 amendment, there was a sunset provision in the 1982 amendment, and that said that with respect to any county regulation, ordinance, or whatever, mm-hmm. that was in effect on January 1, 1982, it's all right for the county to completely or entirely enforce the ordinance, rule, or regulation until July 1, 1983. Then the sunset provision goes on to say, but after that date, those ordinances, rules, and regulations shall be null and void. It appears that sunset provision does not support your view pertaining to when this court takes a look at the Forest Practice Act, the section and issue, that it supports your argument.
Ms. Layton, you may respond to Justice Kennard's question, but your time is otherwise up.
Okay. I think, Your Honor, the county's position, it does support, because it's in the Forest Practice Act, and what it was doing, and I would commend the court to the judicial notice documents, what the legislature was doing was saying you can't regulate on-the-ground activities anymore. That's what we're banning the county from being able to do. And you can't require permits. There is nothing in the Forest Practice Act about zoning. Absolutely silent. It is not a zoning statute. So the zone district ordinance, we believe, is not at all spoken to by the Forest Practice Act. It's the Timberland Productivity Act in conjunction with the Forest Practice Act. You read them and you come away with the very clear recognition that the legislature had no intent to wipe out, to strip counties of the authority to say where timber harvesting is an appropriate land use. And thank you.
Here now.
May it please the court. There's one point that on which Ms. Layton and I certainly agree, and that is that this is a case of express preemption. It's not a case in which the legislature's intent must be divined from snippets of legislative history or other statutes. This is a case in which the legislature has expressly spoken to the issue, to the point at issue. And in this circumstance, Chief Justice George, I'm not sure that how much room there is for any kind of a presumption when we have a history, as the county itself admits, of the legislature preempting. It is, has expressly preempted. There was a history where the legislature granted authority to the counties, as Justice Kennard has discussed, and then took it away. So the question that's before the court is, what did it take away in 1982?
Well, the term conduct is somewhat ambiguous, isn't it? And if there is a presumption against preemption, as I believe there is, then the question is whether we should assume that traditional area of county regulations, such as where something happens as opposed to what happens, preempted by a rather indirect use of language by the legislature.
Okay, and let me get right to that, Your Honor, because I think that when you look at the language, the phrase conduct of timber operations, I think it dispels any ambiguity and makes clear what the legislature's intent was, particularly against the background of what was going on here. And even if there were a presumption, I believe it's been clearly rebutted here. And let me get straight to the point about the meaning of the conduct of timber operations. The question is, why did the legislature use that phrase? I think the answer to that is that that is the phrase that is used throughout the FPA to describe the regulatory authority of the board, and then in 1982 to describe the preemptive scope of the degree to which county regulation is preempted.
And aren't there other areas having nothing to do with timber where the state has acted explicitly and yet without prejudice to traditional county zoning authority?
Yes, Your Honor. In our response to the amicus briefs, we discussed several of those statutes. And the interesting thing is about those statutes is that where they reserved room for the exercise of county zoning authority, they did so explicitly. And here, what we have is an explicit elimination of that authority to the extent counties have the zoning authority, but they can't exercise that to prohibit timber operations. And let me explain precisely why I think that's the case. And I think it comes from, again, this phrase, the use of the phrase, the conduct of timber operations, and how it is used in the FPA. The county says that can't extend to location. It can't extend to where, because the board's authority, the Board of Forestry's authority, doesn't extend to where. The board adopts forest practice rules that, according to the county, address only location. Address only method and can't address location. That is simply not true. The board's rules do address location. There are a number of forest practice rules that are location specific. They enact buffer zones around watercourses and lakes. They enact buffer zones around scenic highways and parks. They require vegetation screens around highways and parks. There are rules that govern the removal of debris and other fire hazardous material around residential dwellings. There are rules that govern the removal of snags, which I've learned working on this case are dead trees, around residential dwellings within 100 feet of those. There are rules specific to Santa Cruz County and to the sub-district in which Santa Cruz County sits that direct what type of work and when the work can be done within a certain distance from residential areas. These are all location-specific rules.
But they are all predicated on the notion that operations can be conducted there.
Right. So,
so it seems to me that you can parse this language in a way that says once you have the authority to run your timber operation in X location, then the board gets to make all kinds of rules about what you can do and how you do it and when you do it and what you do with people who live around it. But that does not necessarily dispose of the local authority to say whether you get to do it there.
Well, my answer to that, Your Honor, is that the authority that the board has, which is I think I've demonstrated, clearly extends to enacting rules that are location-specific, is defined using the phrase, the board may issue rules for the conduct of timber operations. So the legislature clearly understood that the conduct of timber operations includes rules going to location. So when the legislature used that same phrase in the preemption statute that counties shall not regulate the conduct of timber operations, it was describing sort of the flip side of the board's authority. The board has the authority over that. When the Santa Cruz County here proposed a residential buffer zone, 300 feet, no harvesting within 300 feet of any residence, they proposed that to the board. The reason they proposed that to the board is they recognized that that location rule, which is the kind of rule they're talking about here with their zoning authority, that location rule is a rule going to the conduct of timber operations. Section 45, 16.5A allows counties to propose rules going to the conduct of timber operations. And then it says...
An area where timber operations are
It doesn't allowed. Say that. It says that they may propose rules for the conduct of timber operations, and the county proposed that rule because it understood that location-specific rules are part of the conduct of timber operations.
What if preemptive statute were to have said counties shall not regulate timber operations? How would that be different than your construction of what it does say, the conduct of timber operations?
I'm not sure that it would be different.
I mean, what is the purpose of the word?
And let me answer that, because I think that's a valid question. The question is, why did the legislature use the phrase conduct of timber operations? And the point I've been trying to make is that is the phrase that is used throughout the statute to describe all of these things, including location. And the second point I'd like to make in response to that, Your Honor, is if there's any use of giving it not failing to give it its full meaning here, it's in the county's position. They say
your opposing counsel cited the definition of timber operations under 45.16.5, and it seems to refer to process methods, not location. How do you respond to that?
They're leaving out part of the definition. That's my response to that. The definition that both we have two Court of Appeal decisions that have addressed this issue, the Big Creek 1 case, the Big Creek 2 case. Both courts agreed that the common definition of the word conduct is the act, manner, or process of doing something. And the county wants to leave out the first part of that, the word act. And we think that that can't be left out. If the legislature had said in this provision, counties shall not regulate how timber operations are conducted, they'd have a good argument. If the legislature said, but counties may regulate where timber operations are conducted, they'd have a good argument. But the legislature didn't use that construction. The construction that it used was, shall not regulate the conduct of timber operations without limitation to where, who, when, or how. It encompasses all of those aspects.
As you say it does. But we're asking, apart from your saying that it does, we're asking, how does that come to pass if the legislature had said the county shall not regulate timber operations? And the response you gave me is, well, they used that phrasing elsewhere. But to read the preemptive provision as you do would potentially make that word superfluous.
Yeah. And my point, Your Honor, is that their reading of it fails to give effect to the words that are used. The word conduct is there. Let's give effect to it. But let's give effect to all of its various meanings. And let me turn, because I think it also bears on this, to the sunset provision, to which Justice Kennard referred. There, the legislature, this is the same legislature that enacted the amendments to the FPA in 1982. This is not some later legislature, some different group of regulators here. This is the same legislature in the same bill defining the scope of preemption. And what it said was that all ordinances that govern the growing or harvesting of timber or the conduct of timber operations shall become null, void, and have no force or effect. So what does that mean? To me, that is the legislature telling us what the scope of preemption is. And it's also telling us right in the statute itself, how we should interpret the phrase conduct of timber operations.
It seems to me, though, that you still have not really confronted the fact that zoning is a uniquely, traditionally county function that seems to survive all sorts of state regulation. And certainly, I think if we adopted your position, even though the state is preeminent in the regulation of the sale of alcoholic beverages, the special state agency and all that, I don't think people question the right of counties and municipalities to zone where one may sell alcoholic beverages or not. Now, yeah. Is that analogous or is it not?
No, I don't think that is analogous, in part because these are timber operations that are inextricably connected with the land where they're growing. You can't, if you're banned from selling liquor at a given location, and by the way, the state regulatory scheme that governs liquor sales has an explicit savings clause for that zoning authority, which shows that when there is an intent to preserve it, they say so. Here they didn't say so. But getting more to the point, Here, this is timber growing on land. If you prohibit it from being harvested, you have prohibited that timber from being harvested, period. It can't be done. Now, they say it can be rezoned to TPZ, and I'd like to discuss that in a minute. But these are tied to the land where they are. It's not like a liquor store. It's not like a gas station where you can still sell the gasoline. You're just being directed to sell it somewhere else.
Well, in Bronco Wine, of course, you're dealing with a state statute regulated certain aspects of growing and bottling of wine products, and yet there too the county of Napa are permitted to regulate which areas would be subject to agricultural and specifically wine use. So isn't that somewhat analogous, one growing thing to another?
Well, but then we have to turn to the statute and the scheme we have before us. The county admits that zoning ordinances that regulate the conduct of timber operations are preempted. They admit that the state has preempted their zoning authority. They dispute the scope of that, but there's no question here that there is a preemptive force to this statute and that it pertains to zoning. So the question is, did the legislature mean to carve out just this one aspect, to take the word conduct, disregard a vital part of what it means, and just intend only a separate definition that doesn't give full effect to the word? And our answer to that is no, it didn't intend to do that.
Can we make this simple? Your position is that the word conduct includes location.
Yes.
And if we agree, you win. If we don't, you lose.
I certainly agree with the first part of that.
I thought you would.
let me illustrate it with another example. If the city of Los Angeles here were given requested permission for a demonstration, a parade permit, and they said, you can do it on this street, but not these other streets, and your staging area can be here, and your gathering area can be here, and prohibited them from going on other streets, that would be a regulation of the conduct of that demonstration. There's no question that when they dictate where, they're regulating the conduct of that demonstration. And I think Justice Kennard's point, which I did not hear the county's council answer, about the amorphousness of this distinction between where and how is a very good one. The helicopter ordinance is a prime example of how you can take something and call it regulation of conduct, the how of the conduct, but not the where of the conduct. But in fact, you know, they are regulating the how.
Once you get over the hump of whether or not conduct means location, then we can always go on to say that the helicopter ordinance, for example, really isn't a question of location. It really is a question of conduct. I mean,
yeah.
That's why we have courts.
Right. And the question is, did the legislature mean to sort of embroil the courts in trying to draw these fine distinctions on an amorphous definition that doesn't give effect to all the various meanings of the word conduct? Or did it, as it's said repeatedly in the legislative history, intend to take away county authority because the counties had been abusing that authority? Now, let me turn to the TPA, because the county relies on it very heavily. One thing that's very important to recognize is that the TPA, she referred to it as having been enacted in 1982. It was amended in 1982. It was enacted in 1976. At that time, counties had the authority under the 1973 version of the FPA to regulate timber operations fully, as long as it was more strict than the state regulation. So to the extent there was any recognition, and we think there was essentially none in the TPA of counties' own authority, it was at a time when counties had authority to regulate timber operations. That was 1976. And to me, that's a complete answer to this assertion that the TPA is the answer to all of our problems here. Notwithstanding that the TPA was on the books in 1976 and 77 and 78, all the way up through 1982 and continuing thereafter, the legislature amended the FPA in 1982 to take away county authority to regulate the conduct of timber operations. And that demonstrated the word conduct in its common meaning, as well as the way it's used in the statute, encompasses more than just how, just the natural meaning of the words that extends beyond how.
Councilor, the TPA refers to harvesting within the TPZ, as being solely or regulated solely pursuant to state statutes and regulations. From that, can one make a negative inference that without the TPZ zone, that maybe the counties have some wiggle room and some say?
No, I think that recognizes that TPZ is a state-mandated zone. I mean, the county tries to emphasize the various discretion of that. I think if the court reads the statute, you will see that this is a state zoning scheme imposed on the counties. And what it does is it imposes a series of very strict limitations on the use of that property. And it really sets it aside in a way that's different even from other timberland. And so it's not surprising that in that statute you would find a provision such as the one Your Honor has mentioned. But that can't take away from the provisions of the FPA, which govern all timberland in the state. One thing I think that's worth mentioning here is that 25%, according to the Department of Forestry statistics, 25% of the timberland in this state is not zoned TPZ. And then in some counties, it's even more dramatic. In Santa Cruz County, for example, where we're talking about, 60% of the land is not zoned, 60% of the private timberland, is not zoned TPZ. In Sonoma County, for example, 73% is not zoned TPZ. So we're talking about a very large amount of the timberland in this state that is governed by the FPA. The TPA is not a regulatory statute. It's a statute that was enacted to provide tax benefits provide even further encouragement of timber harvesting. To me, it's hard to comprehend how a statute that was enacted to further protect the timberlands of the state can be used as a in a negative way to say, well, it detracted from and is a reason for narrowly construing the protection that's provided by the Forest Practice Act, which is the regulatory statute for all timberland in the state of California.
What effect would there be on the timber industry if each and every county in the state adopted similar ordinance?
I think that the effect would be that, as I say, we have almost 2 million acres of private timberland that's not zoned TPZ. And if every county in the state did what the county here has done, harvesting on that property would be unavailable. You have some counties where 100% of the Marin County, for example, 100% of the timberland in that county is not zoned TPZ. So under the position...
So if one county makes it non-competitive to harvest in that particular county, the effect is to throw that harvest into another county. Is that correct?
I don't know whether, you know, how the... I mean, these are individual property owners who have timber, to be harvested. And if they can't harvest it in their county, that property owner can't harvest it somewhere else. That is, it's...
Where will the timber harvester go? Buyer.
They will have to go, I guess, to places where it's allowed. But the purposes of the FPA were to achieve the maximum sustained timber production in the state. I think that the FPA is full of legislative expressions that this is a matter of statewide concern and ensuring that we have the maximum sustainable timber production. And that
can't to be a problem with conflicting regulations from different counties. Wouldn't the legislature have only to remove the words the conduct of from the Act, from 4516.5, or make some other change in wording and just make it expressly clear that the counties were not to have any authority, zoning or otherwise, with regard to timber operations?
I think, Your Honor, they have made that expressly clear in a number of ways. Could they have said it a different way? Sure, they could have said it a different way, but the way that they said it is clear. The conduct of timber...
Not necessarily being as responsive to Justice George's question as you might. We understand your position that, from your perspective, they have made this crystalline in its clarity. However, if we disagree with your position, they could make it even clearer if they chose to, couldn't they?
Yeah, I've never understood it to be the test when evaluating legislative language that... You know, we won't give effect to the language that was given because it could have been clearer.
We understand your position that it's really, really clear. There are other people who think it might be less clear. If, heaven forbid, we should disagree with your conclusion, that doesn't forestall all timber harvesting in the state of California. If we misapprehend, from your perspective, the intent of the legislature... The legislature still has the power of corrective, isn't that right?
That is true, but let me explain why this shouldn't be given back to the legislature. The court is focusing on the word conduct. The county focuses on the word conduct. The legislature itself, in that sunset provision, said that ordinances governing the growing and harvesting of timber or the conduct of timber operations shall become null, void, and of no force or effect. Now, I don't think that the word conduct can be given the limited meaning that the county ascribes to it, but even if it could, we have the legislature declaring that all county ordinances that regulate the growing and harvesting of timber are of no force or effect. They're null and void as of July 1st, 1983. Under the county's position, those ordinances magically sprang back to life on July 2nd, I guess, 1983, at least to the extent that they govern how. And our position is no. When the legislature said, all ordinances governing the growing and harvesting of timber and the conduct of timber operations are null and void, they meant what they said.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. I'm afraid you've exceeded your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Now,
good Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the court. May it please the court, I am here on behalf of the California Board of Forestry, and I would like to address some of the issues that I think I have heard raised by the justices already, in particular this issue of conduct. I think that it is clear from the state's perspective that the state has been mandated by the legislature, or the Board of Forestry has been mandated by the legislature to perform a balancing test, which balances timber operations in the state of California against specific county needs. That balancing test is articulated in the Forest Practice Act, particularly in 4516.5, and I believe that the rulemaking authority, which the Forest Practice Act gives to the county, expressly deals with this tension, this issue of local concern versus a very clear statewide concern to preserve timber harvest as a commercial activity in the state. In the Timber Productivity Act, what was intended by the legislature was to provide ultimate tax benefit for property which highest and best use was determined by the county using a number of factors which were articulated by the legislature to be the principal use of that property. However, the legislature also recognized that there may be areas where timberland, which is defined as capable of and available for the growing of commercial timber, is also a beneficial use, but it does not get the tax benefit that is provided in the timber production zone because it is not necessarily the only use on that property. There are examples replete around the state of those properties where there is rangeland, perhaps vineyard, perhaps orchard, and also commercial timber operations. It was never intended, the board believes, by the state to prohibit timber operations simply because the property is not zoned a timber production zone. In fact, the County of Santa Cruz first brought these ordinances to the Board of Forestry as rules, proposed rules, under 4516.5. Only when those rules were rejected in part by the Board of Forestry did the county turn around and then refashion those rules to make them read as locational rules, basically to prohibit the use, the actual act of commercial timber operations in zones that are not zoned TB, with three minor exceptions, none of which have much commercial timber in them. If the county had done what the legislature intended under the TPA and had in fact zoned everything in the county that was principally TP as a primary use, the county would probably not have allowed these unclassified zones between 1976 and now to exist, because the TPA asks that when the county does not zone property TP, it define an alternate principal use for that property. The county has not done that in a number of cases, but the county has allowed timber operations to take place. It has written them into its zoning code as a permitted use in those zones. What the county is now doing is it's saying, if you will not give us conduct rules that we believe are sufficiently protective of our particular county interests, we will then prohibit entirely timber operations outside of TP zone. And you, the landowner, then have the onus of coming into the county and attempting to get your property rezoned into TP, even though it was not zoned TP as it should have been, if you follow the county's logic.
Ms. Proctor, I'm trying to find a gap in your argument to ask a question.
I'm sorry.
You have only 10 minutes. I do have a number of questions. Here, you know, one can easily sympathize with the counties in their desire to limit lumber harvesting. But your point is the legislature has spoken on this particular issue, and the legislature, and I presume that you would acknowledge that the 1982 amendment was in response to various complaints from the lumber companies that there was too much regulation by the various counties involved. Would that be a correct statement?
Yes.
So here we're faced with the 1982 amendment, and you started off your argument by saying that here, here the legislature has accomplished a delicate balancing act, and then you went off to another point. I presume that in talking about balancing, you would refer back to the permission by the board to the counties of making recommendations to the board, which, based upon the statutory language, the board shall adopt if it furthers the purpose of the legislation and it's necessary to protect the needs and conditions of the county recommending them, right? That's one of the recommendations. Number two, the counties have a right to appeal any tentative decision by the board pertaining to the adoption of a timber harvest plan, right?
If a county has adopted local rules, then the county does have the ability to appeal to the board.
After the appeal, if a county thinks that a board has improperly disregarded the county's recommendations, the county can still file a petition, a writ petition, challenging the board's decision. And I presume your point is this is the balancing act that the legislature has engaged in, and what the counties cannot do is use the zoning power to undermine the board's decision. Would that be a correct statement of your argument?
Yes.
Is it further your point, which I think is the point made earlier, that you know, a lot has been said about counties traditionally have the power to zone, and there is a presumption against preemption. I presume you would join in the response by counsel on your side that the presumption can, of course, be rebutted. And what the counties here cannot do is use the zoning powers to trump the regulatory powers of the board.
I think you've stated my argument probably better than I did.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
I do agree that there is a presumption on the part of local government to zone. But I also believe that in those areas where the state has expressed, and as I believe the state has expressed here in the legislative intent to both the Timber Productivity Act and the Forest Practice Act, a overreaching state compelling reason for having a consistent regulatory framework for timber operations on timberland, not just on TP, but on timberland, which is defined very broadly in the rules, I believe that that presumption can be rebutted, and here I believe it has been. Going back to the Timber Productivity Act, I think it's important to look at that as a taxation statute, because it's not the only example of taxation statutes that we have in land use law. We have the same thing in the Williamson Act, which is the agricultural statute. When the Forest Practice Act was amended in 1982, it was amended specifically to deal with onerous conditions that were being placed upon timber operations by certain counties, one of whom is the county that is before us today in this case. And the legislature expressly recognized that those local regulations were essentially prohibiting timber operations, commercial timber operations. Earlier in your questions, Justice Baxter, you mentioned that if commercial timber harvest were prohibited in one county, it would simply go to another. Unfortunately, the timber grows in only one place. You cannot simply say that you have 60% of the timberland, commercial timberland in Santa Cruz, now prohibited from commercial timber unless they rezone to TP, assuming that they can meet the qualifications to do that, that will simply be transferred to another county in the state. Timber is unique. Trees grow very differently in different places, and you cannot simply assume that the trees that are being taken out of production in Santa Cruz are fungible and can be simply replaced in some other county. And I think that is one of the major compelling arguments as to why the state has intended to keep control of not just the actual how a helicopter is used in timber operations, but also where those operations can occur. Because
thank you, Ms. Chandler.
Thank you.
Layton by way of rebuttal.
Thank you. I've been furiously scribbling, so I hope I can get through a couple points quite quickly. Let me just pick up where counsel just left off about timber being unique, can't be moved. And I think the issue here is one that that courts have addressed. In fact, the opinion of this court, and I would refer to the case of Beverly Oil versus City of L.A., there you were talking about oil deposits, something that can't be moved. And the court said, the people have a primary and supreme interest in oil deposits. It's recognized oil production is a business which must operate, if at all, where resources are found. Nevertheless, city zoning ordinances prohibiting the production of oil in designated areas have been held valid. I would also refer the court to the decision of the Christ Court in New York in the Frew Run case, and that court said there is a distinction. We've heard counsel say you can't distinguish between how and where. Courts do it all the time. In Frew Run, they held that a state law, which broader than here even, preempted all local laws relating to the mining industry, something that can't be moved, prohibited actual operation and process of mining. That's what the court found. That law prohibited regulation of process and mining. They upheld a local ordinance limiting mining to certain zone districts. They did it there. I would also refer the court to an opinion of the California Attorney General back in 1969. I realize this is before the 1982 prohibition. However, on the books back in 69, there was a prohibition on counties that was even stronger than today's prohibition. And the Attorney General had to decide whether a Marin County ordinance limiting logging to specific areas of the county could be upheld. And the court said, yes, that the preemptive language of the Forest Practice Act at that time, which said state can exclusively regulate timber operations, the court said that doesn't ban Marin from saying where. So let me, I'll get off of my where and how distinction. I also would respond to the comments about location, that the forest practice rules address location. The forest practice rules address location only in the context of protecting environmental values. That's what the Forest Practice Act said. State, you regulate timber, but at the same time you have to protect environmental values, such as quality of water in the streams, etc. So you have setbacks. You will see nothing in the state rules about protecting conflicting land uses. And that's what the legislature, at the same time it was putting in 4516.5, it was amending the TPA, same session, and said, we have a problem here. Yes, this was originally a tax statute, and we said, you can log if you're in TP. But what the legislature also said is, we have a problem with conflicting land uses. We need to deal with it. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, go to TP, and then everyone's on notice. No one can complain. And so you have, in fact, rules that address location only as to environmental values, not as to zoning. We've heard there was a dialogue about what would happen if every county did this. Well, I would submit that would be furthering legislative intent, which is to go to TP if you want to log your timber. Nothing prohibits going to TP. And so it's absolutely speculation that you're going to have all this land in the state not being able to be zoned. There is not an absolute right to use your land any way you want. There are too many court decisions that talk about government regulation is valid as long as it's not unreasonable. And telling folks who own parcels with timberland that, fine, you want to log, but go to TP. It's not, there's nothing to stop them. It's not a ban on timber harvesting. And we would say that that unfettered right doesn't exist here or anywhere else in our legal system. As to the rules, they keep saying, well, look, here's the role for the county. It can propose rules. It proposes rules that go to conduct, to the things that the Forest Practice Act says, not to what zone you're in. That's different. There's nothing in the Forest Practice Act where you propose a rule about zone district. So that responds to the issue. And I would note that this court's recent decision in Pacific Lumber versus the State Water Board, the same argument was made there. Well, look, the State Water Board can participate in the THP review process, and the fact that they didn't get what they want when they asked for certain mitigation, the court said that didn't prevent them from exercising their independent regulatory authority. That's what this court unanimously said. Same situation here. The fact that the county proposed rules, those rules went to conduct. They did not go to zone districts. And concurrent jurisdiction, as the Pacific Lumber case said, concurrent jurisdiction is not a controversial concept. Happens all the time. And here we don't even have concurrent overlapping. We have independent. The county says you put it, your property in the appropriate zone district, then you go to the state and start the process for what your THP permit will look like, and the state puts whatever conditions it wants. But before you walk into the state, before you start the process, you have to be in the appropriate zone. And interestingly enough, the state contacted the county of Santa Cruz and said, what zone districts is timber harvesting allowed in your county? The county responded. The state then, and this is in the briefs, the state then wrote to timber operators and said, you better be sure when you go to Santa Cruz that you're in the appropriate zone district. It's not a zero-sum game here. It's not all or nothing. And that's the position that plaintiffs have tried to present to this court, that either you get to log or you don't. Under the county's scheme, we can ban it. That is not the distinction. We are not banning, and we have rezoned. When council says 60% of Santa Cruz County has timberland that's not in TP, fine, then do what the legislature said it wanted and zone your property TP. If there are no further questions.
All right.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Ms. Lake. Matter stands submitted.